Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I'm excited today. I tell you, it is getting to be more difficult to free fools from the chains that they love. We must unite all the people from the bottom up. We must fight for racial and economic justice. We must change the way we do business, all our power. See, one of the reasons why this system get away with what they get away with is that we allow. Nobody willing to stand up and fight for what is right. It makes no sense time a police officer shoot and kill a person and it's justifiable homicide. That makes no sense at all. And the only way that they can get away with it is that we sit back and allow it to happen. We must come together. We must unite and fight this monster together. See, here in Barron County, there's a whole different world. You see, law enforcement is molesting women, white women, not black women. Over 50 white women has been molested, touched, grind on. When they got out of jail, they took them to a hotel. They even took one of the ladies when they got out of jail up to Detroit for a police officer training section. And nobody's saying a mumbling word here in Barron County. We had a police lieutenant who would go to Walmart and push a whole buggy of food out the door. Been doing it for years. And it just so happened a new guy was on the job. When he came on, they spotted him. And they discovered it was him who was stealing food. He was the sheriff deputy of the year. But who would believe this? Then we had another sheriff deputy. Her name is Joanne Roberts. She ran the tether program. She stole $80,000. $80,000. They told her that they are not going to fire her. They're going to give her her job back because she was their friend. Interesting. Very, very interesting. And we had one guy who, with his uniform on, went on Backpage. Some of you might know what that is, Backpage. I have no idea, to be honest with you. It's just a place where they pick up prostitutes. This one lady got out of jail, and this guy named Keenan, I can't think of his first name right now, but Keenan, he's related to Sheriff Bailey. Picked her up, paid her $60 for sex, and she told on him. They did. They allowed him to resign. But remember, he had on his uniform now while all this was going on. And they allowed him to resign and gave him a job with the Barron County Road Commission. Same check, same check, same people cutting the check. And that's right. This is what's happening here in Barron County, Michigan. Who would believe it? Who would believe that all this stuff is happening? And the bad part about it, nobody seemed to care. I thought by being white women that the white women that's on the county commission would stand up for these women. Their remark was that these were low-life women. Well, these are low-life women at Joe Sheriff's Department is sexually harassing. I just don't understand how this could happen here and nothing, and nobody goes to jail. Nobody. You go steal a piece of bread, especially if you're black, you're going to prison. You see, they had one doctor who was running a drug ring for the last 15 years. Drug ring. They said no jail time for him. Really running a drug ring. Amazing. Then we had the young man who had ripped off Lowe's. He had a crew that would go in and steal. And then he'll return it and get the gift card, over $100,000 worth of stuff. They only allow him to pay back $65,000. It pays to be white. Then we had the county commissioner who stole almost $1 million, or over $1 million, I should say, for 7 years, from four different accounts, forged more than 100 checks. Forged more than 100 checks. Never was charged with forgery. Never was charged with forgery. And this guy is out walking around today. He even had his own audit. He did his own audit, forced on his own audit. One of the biggest accounting firms, he forged their name on an audit. No charges, only in America. We got to change the way we do business. Things are going to get worse before they get better. But I tell you, I'm going to tell you about this book. The name of the book is The Spook Who Sat by the Door, which is one of the greatest books that I have ever read over 25 years ago, maybe 30, maybe 35. I don't really remember how long ago it was. But it really framed my life, told a story, you see. You could only get what you're able to take. If you can't take it, you're not going to get it, not here in America. So you're going to have to make a decision. What are you going to do? Remember the book, The Spook Who Sat by the Door, by Samuel Greenlee. Matter of fact, it was out of Detroit. I think he's out of Detroit, if I'm correct. Yes, he is. He's out of Detroit, Michigan. But I also have one of my friends on, well, a couple of my friends on the line today. One of them is a nice guy from Kalamazoo, Michigan. He wrote a book, and he took his time and wrote this book. And he put his feelings into it. You see, when you write, you got to, I think that, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you should have a ghostwriter. See, a ghostwriter can't put his personal feelings into a book. But if you know a person, he lends into the book. Let me bring on my good friend, writer, painter, roof fixer. He's really, really a great thing. Have a wonderful family. I spoke with his wife, Christy, today, a beautiful young lady. He has two beautiful daughters with three grandchildren, and he has two ugly dogs. Yes, they're ugly. I hope he can't hear me, but they're about as ugly as you can get.
Oh, I got to say something now. You can talk about me, but not my granddaughter.
Hold on, Phil. I got a finished introduction of you. My good friend, Phil, how you doing?
Really good. Really good. And it's good to hear you, too, Reverend Pinckney.
You know what? It's good to be heard, my brother. It's good to be heard. You know, I was just talking about your wonderful family. And, you know, I had the opportunity to even marry one of your daughters. I did the ceremony, which was so...
Yeah, my oldest daughter and her husband. And they are actually...
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're staying with me right now. So they're looking for a house in Kalamazoo.
Okay.
And they're doing
Phil.
Well. You know, Reverend, I've stayed up on things in Benton Harbor pretty well, but every time I hear you, it's like a surprise. The thing with all the women in the jail, I have heard a little about that, but then all the it's ironic that somebody who actually forged things wasn't charged with forgery in Berrien County.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. And look, and he was forging from four different accounts for seven years.
So this guy had a lot of power.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They take care of each other. See, this is where we're missing the boat at. They take care of each other. Like even this guy named, I was talking about the guy with the Lowe's, and he must have had over 100 counts. Would have 100 count, but only charged him with one count because he's their friend. He do work for the guy Wolf, the administrator, and at the county commission office. He do work for his family, and they only charged him, gave him one count, and he got to pay back only $65,000. You know, well over $100,000, close to $200,000. You see. But they take care. And here's another thing. There was a guy, a lieutenant now, from the sheriff's department, who had been pushing groceries out of Walmart in Niles, Michigan. And every time he needs groceries, he'll go get them. And nobody ever say anything because he have on his uniform. Who gonna say something?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? But guess what happened? That this guy, this is a new guy, came in and he saw him, and he sounded the alarm.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
The guy drove off, so he notified the boss. The boss told him what, you know, hey, you gotta bring that food back. You know, he had ate some of it, but he brought some of it back. But it's so amazing what they get away with, and nobody says anything. People don't even talk no more about this. See, when you're law enforcement, you're above the law. That's why every time they shoot and kill somebody, is always justifiable homicide. I was watching a video yesterday that almost brought tears to my eyes. They shot this guy. They killed him. He was unarmed. And they just killed him. You know, outright just shot him to death. Didn't taser him. Didn't do nothing. They just shot him, you know.
And it was on video?
You know.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, but you know, I come to expect this now. You know, I don't see if I ever get pulled over, I'm putting my hands on the steering wheel, letting them know I don't have a gun. If you want me to reach for my license, if you want me to come out the car, put me in handcuffs. Don't, you know, because I'm not going through that stuff because I don't want no accident. Because first thing is, they would take me with a high head. He was just. You know, he threatened me and all this kind of stuff. This is the type of language. And then the first thing they said, I was afraid for my life. And you got a gun and I don't. But
Phil,
it goes on and on and on and on, Phil. I tell you, people just don't get it. And I tell you, Phil, I don't know what's next. I don't get it. I don't know what's next. I don't really know what to do what's next. I mean, what do you do? You know, you can't get – there's no such thing as justice here. And that's for the poor whites, too. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Poor, you know, there's no difference. They do them, but they're just one step above, you see. But unfortunately, people just don't care. You know, we don't care. If it don't happen to you, we don't, see, one thing about – I say about my black brothers and sisters, they run fast, but they don't run long, you see. And I say, you know, I'm not calling them horses, but they're like quarter horses who can only run a quarter of a mile, you see. And the distance is 1 mile, but they can only run a quarter of that mile. And that's the problem that we face today. This thing is ugly, especially down here. Two of my friends that was in prison with me went to see the parole board after being in prison for over 45 years. Wow. And listen to this. This sleazeball, Mike Sepik, goes over in there and tells them that he objects to them being released. 45 years.
He does what?
To them being released.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the person is probably,
I mean,
what, 70 or something? They got to be pretty old. Wow.
They got to be pretty old, close to 70 years of age. But the thing is, you know, what happened was, one of them, Johnson, they call him Bear. I was in Coldwater with him, and he was, you know, he's from Benton Harbor, and he explained how it happened. He said, this is how it happened. It didn't happen no other way, but I have to accept responsibility because I went in there. He wanted to pawn this gun, and the gun went off and killed this guy. And he said, I went in there with, he said, in the first place, I shouldn't have been trying to pawn no gun no way. He said, that's the number one thing. He said, I wanted a few dollars, and I had an opportunity, and I went in there to pawn this gun, and it went off. And he said, my question is, how did it go off? You must have had your fan on the finger.
Yeah.
He said, it went off. He said, I can't deny. He said, they gave me numbers. They gave me numbers. And he said that he completed all the time they gave him, and they keep giving them flops now. Flop, flop, flop. A flop is when they give you a continuous 24 months, 36 months, 12 months, whatever it is. That's what they call a flop inside the prison system.
Okay.
And he said
and that's
that,
for...
And that's just because they want to.
They don't have to have any reason for that.
No, they don't need a reason to flop people. They should have a reason, but they don't need one, you know, because they wanted to flop me, you know, but they couldn't find a reason. You know, a guy like me, what it would look like me, they're giving me a 24 continuous or something like that. That, you know, that would never have stood up. Whatever they do is law. They do whatever their heart desires. Yeah. But listen, you wrote a book. And tell us a little bit about that book.
Well, it's about you and my experiences.
Oh,
watching,
wait a minute. It's all about me?
Well, no. It's about me, too. I mean, people are going to find out a fair amount about me, too. I think I try to stress that I'm just a regular guy who didn't know much about the court system before I got involved with your case. And then the things that I saw happen in court makes it obvious that everything that you're saying is true, that the law is just arbitrary and they use it whatever way they want. And I'm even watching, I'm sorry to say, I don't think it's just in Berrien County, because watching the Supreme Court this last time hearing your appeal, which they didn't hear it until after you were already out of prison, which it almost seems like a waste of time, but it would still be good to have your thing reversed or whatever. And then they promote some judge right in the middle of things, and so you don't have seven judges for your hearing, which that doesn't even surprise me anymore, that odd little things like that, because I could probably list 100 odd little things that I've seen happen in the court system since I started watching your cases. So that's what, really that's what the book is about, is how, basically how shocked I am at the system. And I don't see how anyone could ever doubt your word after seeing how bad the government wants to shut you up, you know? And I think that it's a losing battle. They are not going to win, really, because, for one thing, they can't shut you up. And now you've alerted so many people to how really sick the criminal justice system is. And it's becoming more obvious all over the place. Although I've got to say that, for instance, I've been trying to drum up interest in the book by going to Western Michigan University. And it almost seems like they, how do I put it? They're kind of like gatekeepers. They don't, for some reason, your case is too controversial for them. And my feeling about it is because it shows how sick the criminal justice system really is. I got to make one more comment, and then we can talk about other things. I talked to an attorney at an event at Western. It was about a woman who had been wrongly accused and was in prison for 4 years. Talked to the attorney afterwards from the law school, Cooley Law School up in Grand Rapids, and I said, "What do you think of our legal system?" And she said, "Best legal system in the world." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Well, are you kidding me?" And then she, you know, she didn't really go much into it. She said, "Well, at least, you know, you've got due process here in our country." But I have to, I want to research that, for one thing, to see if our justice system is really considered the most fair in the world. I don't think it is. Well, not when we have 2 million people
England,
in prison.
England is 100% better. England is 1,000% better. But here's the thing. One thing about an attorney, even my attorney, you know, I know my attorney liked me. I know these people like me. Even Ted liked me. Mm-hmm. You know, but they love this system. And if this system said Pinckney is going down, and you're going to help us take Pinckney down, because you're part of the system also, they're going to do it. No integrity, no morals. That's what we're facing today. Because to me, let's face reality. The reason why they get away with this, people don't stand up for each other like they should. If I see that you're being railroaded, I have an obligation, Bill, to come and help you. Mm-hmm. It's an obligation. I know what they're doing. But you always, when you fight in a system, the establishment, presser, it takes numbers. And people are so intimidated by this system, they refuse to stand up for what's right, Phil. Even you, take you for example. You probably would have never, ever stood up like you have for me if you had not got introduced to it. You see, a lot of people don't get introduced to it.
Yeah.
And Bethany, you know, let me tell you, to give you this one example. There was a white guy who him and his girl was in the car driving, and her ex-boyfriend came up, and he was beating on the door. The guy gets out the car, shoot and kill the white guy. The guy didn't have a gun or nothing. He had an all-white jury, and the jury found him shooting this guy justifiable. I could not. I'm gonna tell you, I've been court watching almost 20 years. I've never seen that happen before in Barron County.
So
I don't know because his last name was Bailey. I don't know. But they found
Wait, is he a white guy or a black guy?
Yeah,
he's
a white guy.
Okay.
White guy. Both of them was white.
Yeah.
And and it was so amazing that, I mean, I was in total shock when the jury came back and said not guilty. They was gone in 5 minutes. They went into the thing and came right back out and said not guilty. There was no evidence that he had a gun. He shouldn't have been carrying no gun in the first place. Why were you carrying a gun?
Is this a trial that you watched personally?
Yeah, I watched that trial.
Wow.
You know, but, you know, I don't want to see nobody really in prison because I've been there. It's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible pain. And now they're changing the rules now where you're not going to have physical business no more. Everything going to be done by computer, Skype.
Oh, my God.
And you got to have $12.99 or something like that, $13. And then you got to be on the list. And at a certain time, you can, you know, whatever slot they have open, that's when you can, all kinds of letters, writing a letter. I don't know. I got over 20,000 letters when I was in prison. 20,000. Can you imagine?
Man,
it was mad. Now, let me tell you just one quick thing. This is kind of funny in a way. I always, when I was in prison, I went to bed at 8 o'clock. They know, and all the prisoners knew I went to bed at 8 o'clock, right?
Uh-huh.
So they would bring my legal mail around 9 o'clock. So I told the sergeant, I said, never, ever bring me my mail after 8 o'clock because I'm in the bed. Now, I'm a prisoner telling the sergeant this. And, okay. So they fished me. They said they had the lieutenant to come and bring my meal at 9 o'clock. And I chewed his butt out. I said, didn't you get my mess? Don't never bring me no meal this late. I said, I want to talk to the warden. And
Wow. Look,
you should have saw everything. But everybody warned him. The prisoner was telling them, Pinkney is asleep. We ain't going to wake him up. They called my name all over the louse. They kept calling and calling. I say this to say, there are things that you can do if you stand up. They never brought my meal to me at 9 o'clock ever again.
Nice.
Never did. You know, I'll get the legal mail maybe twice a week. But my thing is at 9 o'clock, I mean 8 o'clock, I'm in the bed. Don't come, you know, by myself. I mean, they call you, you have to come up to the desk. Putting on my clothes coming up there. But the thing was, see, you can control your own destiny if you're willing to take a stand. But I want to say this, then I got to move along to my good friend Ralph Porn from New York. But I want to say I really appreciate you, Phil. See,
you are
a perfect example of what people can do and what they believe. Because most people never believe that a system was even like it is. The average person who never had any dealing with this system do not believe that this system is anything like this. That's just Pinkney imagination. It's not, we're not this corrupt, you know. We prosecute if you commit a crime, we prosecute you. And one of the things I'm going to say this now, I got to move on, but I really appreciate you writing that book, Soldier of Truth. And then you can tell us how to get there, get it. But there was two bailiffs got killed in Barron County Courthouse. Two bailiffs got killed. One of the bailiffs I spoke to, I told him, I asked him a question. I said, if you see this judge, Dennis Wiley, committing a crime, will you arrest him? He wouldn't give me an answer.
Oh,
I said, if you see me committing a crime, will you arrest me? You know what he said? Absolute. Absolute. I said this to myself. You know, God is going to come in and punish you. Because I know what you're saying is not right, and it's not right for nobody. But anyway, tell us about the book and just a little bit and how they can get it, how people can pick it up. And we have a tremendous listening crowd today, so we're moving on into the right direction. But talk to me. Tell me about how can I purchase that wonderful, wonderful book you just wrote.
Well, it's $10.95 on Amazon. I think they want $3 or $4 of shipping, so it does come to about $15. I think it's an interesting read. It's not too long of a read. I don't think people will get bored with it. It's about 100 pages. People that have read it said they couldn't put it down, and they get the feeling of what was going on, and that's really what I try to put into it. The feeling of indignation that I had so often when I would witness the things that you went through. And it's got some background on your life, some interesting stories that people probably haven't heard before, a little bit about when you were in prison, of course, the Buck Naked Fish story that's become so famous, and a little bit about the NAACP, which a lot of people are probably not aware of. That's another thing that's kept kind of on the down low, as they say. I think most people that have gotten the book liked it. At least that's what Dorothy said. So I don't think they'll be disappointed if they pick it up. And I would like to update it a little bit. I may do that with a couple of articles that I've done since then, you know, including this last one about the Supreme Court. And I'd also like just to put a quick shout-out about that article, too, if people want to look into that. Just the Supreme Court, here's the Pinckney case. I think that's pretty relevant for right now. Other than that, I think the book speaks for itself. So I hope people pick it up and read it. And then if somebody wants to get a hold of me, I would love to hear from them.
Absolutely. Well, how do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me. My email is Philium. It's kind of like William, but just with a P-H. So it's P-H-I-L-L-I-A-M. And the letter B as in boy. That's at outlook.com. And actually, I'll make an offer. If somebody gets a hold of me by email, or if they want to send me a check for $10, I would send them a copy of the book with no shipping charge. So that's just an offer for people that are listening right now. If they want to do that, get a hold of me by my email, and I can give you the address to send a check or money order, and that would save you the shipping charge anyway. I'll do
absolutely.
That to the listeners.
And the name of the book is Soldier of Truth?
Soldier of Truth is the main title, and then there's a subtitle, kind of. It's The Trials of Reverend Edward Pinckney.
Wow. You know, I read the book. It's an amazing book. It brought tears to my eyes. You know, sometimes when you think about some of the stuff that you have done, and then you get somebody get a chance to write about it, and I'm excited myself. I'm always excited when it comes to anything that has to do to help other people. You know, my main objective in this world today is to help as many people as possible, and at all costs. You know, even if that means sacrificing myself. I'm good with that, you know. I'm very, very good because I think you only have one life to live, and I think that you should be able to make that sacrifice to get this thing going. But Phil, I just want to thank you so much. I want you to say hi to your lovely family, your wife. I love her very much. Those two daughters of yours, those three grandchildren of yours, and I won't mention your dogs.
Okay. Thank you too, Reverend. It's been good talking to you.
All right.
I'll stay on and listen. I want to hear Ralph. I'll talk to you.
Absolutely, because Ralph is coming on. He's my dear friend, also. But I will talk to you soon.
Okay, Reverend. Good
my
talking
brother.
To you.
All right. That's Phil Basket. He wrote the book Soldier of Truth, which is a very, very interesting read. And He's my very, very good friend. I can always count on him. He just has one of the best hearts you can ever, ever have. And now I got to bring in my good friend, Ralph Corner from New York. My good friend, he's the type of guy, he'll fly in a minute. He was at my homecoming in Detroit. He flew in and surprised me. A true warrior, fighting this battle for over 60 years. He's just that type of guy, a guy who will go beyond the call of duties. He will do whatever needs to be done, and he can do it. He is the person. And listen, this man is 80 years old and built like a tank. Let me talk to my good friend, Ralph. Ralph Corner, are you there?
I am here, Ralph. Reverend Pinckney. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes,
can you hear me?
Ralph.
Yes, I can. I can hear you.
Okay, as I said, I'm in the North Country, and this whole issue of net neutrality is very real because I'm in the place where if you are not spending big money, and I'm spending over $100 a month for my internet, and it doesn't work because they don't have tallies. And half of the time when they send me the bill, they bill me extra as if I'm in Canada, and I'm still not getting a decent signal. But that's not why I called in. I called in to talk about you and your case and the gentleman. You keep telling him that I'm going to send for the book. I'm going to send that $10. Maybe we'll get several of those books if he has them. And Sister Professor Betty Davis can pass them on to her students at the college she's teaching. You know, she teaches a class on philosophy, which comes into a way of knowing. How do you understand the life you live? And I want to get back to Bering County and you and your struggle. And I have a disagreement with you when you say nobody knows. Let's go to what is corruption? We all know what corruption is, as opposed to total corruption. And total corruption is when everybody knows and it's normal. The corruption is the way it is. And this is what happened in your case. Well, I wasn't sure of what was happening up in Benton Harbor, but when I called lawyers in Detroit and Chicago to support you in your case, and I talk about the case, and they say, yes, sign me up. Where is this? And I'd say, Bering County. And they would say, oh. Well, about the third time when a lawyer said, oh, to me, they don't want to get involved with Bering County because they know what it's about. Total corruption that is normalized. Everybody expects it. And all of those guys getting away with murder and thievery is because they're cutting everybody in. This is a corrupt society. Hope we can deal with that. How much you got? Do you have any left of what you stole? That is the only question. And talk about, you know, like societies that are just. Well, everybody knows there are many societies more just than America. And Roger Moore, the movie maker, who do we invade next? He does his movie based on, you know, other countries and their legal system, their work system. But we have to talk about Lynn Stewart, the lawyer who died, who transitioned March 7th of this year after doing 4 years plus in jail, in the death camps. She was a lawyer who stood up. And she said throughout her career, the law is whatever they say it is at any given time. And you don't hear many lawyers saying like that, and you don't see many lawyers like Lynn Stewart who go up against the system. And your struggle out there shows, yes, you can fight them, but they're going to hurt you. And only people who have the courage to stand up and say, I'm right and I'm not going to give it up, are the only people who are able to fight. But we must understand this system. When you talk about white women being raped, how else could it be when you had a system of slavery 350 years? And I say 350 years because I say it didn't begin to be ended to end until 1965 with the black people being aware of what was done to them. And as Fannie Lou Hamer said, what was done to us. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. We launched a new movement to have justice for people of color. But white women being raped? Give me a break. The whole Middle Passage was a period of rape of women. The whole period of slavery in the cotton field was a period of rape of women. And I hear these Mexican workers, farm workers, talk about being raped in the fields and being afraid to say something because the overseer, and I call them overseers, those people who hired them and took care of them in their most outrageous way, they modernized slavery, having them living in outrageous conditions with the pipe in the middle of the field. And out where you are in Bergen County, Lynn Stewart went to Hope College. And when I was visiting you, I called her one day in the prison she was in the death camp in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, she called me because I couldn't call her. And she says, where are you? And I said, I'm 20 miles from Hope College, where you went to college. And I says, I think I'll drive over and see what it looks like. And her answer was, don't waste your time. There's nothing in that county that's worth you looking at. And if I have a minute, I'm going to talk. I have Sister Betty telling me I've talked too much already. But I'm going to talk 1 minute about this place that you're talking about. 60 years ago, when Lynn Stewart was a freshman there, she was brilliant. She was the head of the society, the newspaper. She ran that. She was just honor student, A's in religion, A in everything. And so for Christmas, she understood the Spanish farm workers. She was the head of the Spanish club also. And so for Christmas, she understood the culture of the Mexicans and their Christianity. They celebrate Christmas like Christmas Eve. And so she had a Christmas Eve party for the children of the farm workers. Well, they called her on the carpet for that. How dare you bring those people onto the campus? And, of course, Lynn Stewart, being brash and from New York, she says, these are the children of the people who make you rich. These are the children of the people who are working in the fields. These are the children of the people that you have done nothing for. And so a little bit of something, Christmas Eve, doesn't seem to be a bad thing. Or they never forgave her. And that was just, I didn't know her then, but that was just the beginning of the Lynn Stewart career as an activist and an attorney. When she saw something was wrong, she spoke out about it, and just like you, she was prosecuted, went to the death camps, came out, and she lived 3 years, 2 months, and 7 days before she transitioned. She was a soldier of truth. You are a soldier of truth, and you have so much to give, and I'm concerned. As Betty said, be careful what you say on Reverend Pinckney's program because he's still on probation or parole. I don't know, what do you call it that you're on? Where
it's,
they can mess
parole,
with you
but, Ralph,
at any
you
minute.
Say
where they
your heart
didn't
desires.
Make it.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, well, yeah, listen, you went before the Supreme Court. And that brings up a lot of issues. The issue of Clarence Thomas, who abused the young lady. And the Democratic Party, who was supposed to protect Anita Hill, and Ted Kennedy, who was supposed to be on her side, then we find out that he knew far more than he told at the time. Clarence Thomas should have never been on the Supreme Court. How did he get there? He got there with money from apartheid South Africa, money from Israel, and money from corrupt right-wing churches. This is where his money came from, and they passed him on. Everybody was afraid to criticize him because he was a black man. And as Sojourner Truth said, ain't I a woman too? And Anita Hill, is she not a woman? Where was the National Organization for Women to support Anita Hill? No, they understood the tradition of rape of black women. And as of 3 years ago, no white man has ever been convicted for raping a black woman. Somebody told me when I was in this country, somebody was telling me that I was speaking at a meeting, and they says, well, there was one white guy who was arrested, and he did time. And I says, give me the case. We have computers here. Let's all look it up. But she couldn't find it. And that leads me to believe no white man in America has been convicted of raping a black woman. So where does this take you? What can white women expect if other women are raped with impunity? They can expect no more than the same treatment. And now we all know Harvey Weinstein isn't by himself. There has been, they call it the casting couch in Hollywood. We have, not only Trump wasn't the first abusive president, the first abusive president was Thomas Jefferson, you know, with his black wife and his black children. And so this is a tradition in America. Bill Clinton didn't come up with anything new. Trump didn't come up with anything new. They're just in a tradition. And in the modern day of age where we have computers and cell phones, the news got out. And women recognized that people would believe them. And so then the truth comes out, and it's going to come out for a long time. But I tell you, how are you going to undo 350 years of terrible conduct, the rape of women of color? Well, somebody said, well, hell, I get away with that. I'm going to rape me some white women. Here we are. And what's going to happen? Okay, you got it. Betty's been giving me the tea sign. And so, you know, like time for me to cut off. But, you know, thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Keep up the struggle, and I want everybody to hear this. Reverend Pinckney got to run for office. We all got to get a war chest together to make sure that Reverend Pinckney runs, because you are tried and true soldier of truth. You're not going to be a Hightower and get in there and change your tune. And this is... is the part of the problem. They've moved you to the shores of the Lake Michigan. Now they want to take it away. Sony wants it. Everybody wants it. And just like the indigenous people, they're looking to take it. And so thank you for your efforts. Thank you for the struggle. And we're with you. We're with you. Signing off now. Ralph Pointer, New Abolitionist Movement, Lynn Stewart Defense Organization.
All right.
Thank you,
my brother.
And I'll never forget the help you gave us when we were fighting.
Love you, Betty. Y'all take care now.
Lynn.
Love y'all. All right. Let me bring in my good friend, Ken. See if he want to say a few words for us today. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. And
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. But I'll tell you a little bit. When the people say that they don't think our court system is this bad, with the bar attorneys in Vegas here defending the Bundys, we got seven attorneys. and they're all fighting like crazy, which I've never seen in my life, that seven bar attorneys will come in and actually stand up against this federal judge. Because these people are, the court system is evil. I testified the last time in the last trial, and the jury was not even allowed to hear what I had to say. Now, this time here, a week and a half ago, she come in and said, none of the bunnies could be released because they're a danger to society. They wouldn't show back up for trial and blah, blah, blah. And then she comes in 2 days later after she knew they had snipers on the ridge that day. The FBI had snipers on the ridge that in 2014 when we stood up down there, they had snipers pointing guns at us. She acted like she didn't know that. These lawyers made her bring it out. And as soon as they brought that out, she acted like she didn't know it. And the prosecutor stood up and said, Your Honor, this is the first time today that I've heard anything about it, and I can't believe it. And so she chewed him out like, you know, a stepchild. And then 2 days later, she released everybody from, let them go out into a halfway house with a tether on them, if you can call that freedom. But believe it or not, Fireman Bundy told her, I'll stay right here till I'm free. You come out and arrest me for no reason. You can feed me and take care of me till I'm a free man when I walk out of this courtroom. So he refused to leave the federal court system. Now, it's so bad out here, the BLM, and I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. It's Bureau of Land Management. They all think that they own 85% of Nevada. The federal government says they own 85% of Nevada. Now, right after we stood up out there in 14, there was a young kid riding his bicycle into the federal land. They shot him seven times in the back. So they do not care what color. They do not care what color you are, as long as you don't submit to their power. They will kill you in this country. So if you got a question,
I agree. Hey Ken, I agree with you 100%. It doesn't make a difference what color you are, especially in this country, because you know it's the power to be. See, they have to keep you in your place, whether you like it or not, and it's always justifiable homicide. I don't care what it is. They can put a gun in your hand, a gun you've never seen before. But if they say that it was that you had a gun, you had a gun. You know, and it's amazing. It looks like the bunny is going to actually be cut loose now, huh?
Well, they're all loose right now except for Clavin. They've all been let out, but tomorrow's going to be a big day because this jury, we brought the jury in, the federal witnesses that actually got them testified. The woman, the head of the BLM here in Nevada, in Clark County, she said they were taking the cattle and they were going to give them back to the Bundy so they could put them on their land. They own 160 deeded acres of their land. And she said, if that wasn't the case, they were going to sell them. Now, listen to this. The Bundys owe them $8,815. For 3 years now, we've been hearing the Bundys owe grazing fees of $1 million, $1 million. Well, she said it was $8,815 that the Bundys owed. So they went out there and caused all this big commotion so they could steal the land for $8,000. It was nothing about the cattle. It wasn't even about the $8,000. It's all about their power, and they're going to show us that they're going to take us down. And they're doing
amazing.
And they're doing it good.
So you said tomorrow's a big day, right?
Yes.
Okay. Would you do me a favor? Can you come back on and tell us what happened at that court hearing to next Sunday?
Yes. Because I got a feeling she wants a mistrial. Because if they sent this jury in right now, with only three of them testifying, they'd come back not guilty on all charges. Because the jury, when they had the BLM attorney for 35 years, he sat on that stand and said, we do not follow the Constitution. The federal government supersedes the states. So the jury was sitting on the front of their seats You know, and then they ask the judge, well, how come we can't hear this or this? You know, they played tapes and stuff of what was being said, but they wouldn't play it all because they didn't want the jury to hear all of it. She told them that doesn't concern you right now. Excuse me.
Wow, that's interesting. Ken, listen, I ran out of time for you, so I got to move on. Next Sunday, I want you to come on and tell us what happened.
Okay, if you can give me a little more time Sunday, I appreciate it.
I will. I'll give you a lot more time. Thank you. All right, now, that's my good friend Ken. He's out in Vegas with the bunnies. Let me bring in Rosie.
Here, and I think you should run for office, too. I left you that message.
Yeah, but I think I got a bigger fish to fry than being one of those elected officials. We got to get the folks moving. You know, we got to change the way people thinking and their actions. And we got to make sure that we all doing the very right thing. We got to do the right thing, whatever it is. It's got to be right.
And I want to also back you up about the judicial system, which is so corrupt and so disgusting. In my workers' comp case, I mean, if they can't lie and destroy a person's life and kill them, they're not happy. But, you know, since I've been home and I've had the surgeries, I've been sitting here, and you know USAA, the insurance company?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Years ago, about 25 years ago or so, I was a member with my husband, and then we got divorced, and I still stayed a member for about 25, 30 years. The adjuster came to my house. He assaulted me. I ended up in the emergency room, and USAA took his side. I know.
Wow.
And he had another man there. You know how petite I am, and these were 6 feet tall, these men. And so the other man obviously lied and went with him. And I did not. I got up. They were leaving. And I just stood there, didn't say a word, didn't touch him, didn't touch his recorder, and all of a sudden he grabs my arm, breaks the skin, bruises my arm, my arm's bleeding, and I scream, get out of here, and finally they left, and I went and locked my door, and they were gone. And USA would do nothing. And I was always, like, on their list never to sell insurance to.
Wow. Amazing.
Right. And I want to say, I've been sitting here and watching their ads while I don't feel good and so tired saying how wonderful they are. Well, that's not the truth.
Well, we have to speak truth to power.
Right. I mean, I couldn't get over it. I'm a really honest person. I always paid my premium, always paid my bills. They were there because something happened, and I also went to the district attorney in Van Nuys, and she went to anything. She said it was their word against mine. Well, I'm going to talk about it forever now. I'm a woman, screwed again.
Wow.
And nobody, I've never had anybody come that's attacked me. It was just unbelievable. They never came. They never talked to me. It was always my fault.
Always. Hey, Rob.
Always. I'm a woman. I get it all the time. But you know, my mouth never stops moving and speaking up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rob, we don't have any more time, but I want you to talk about that fire. How close is you to the fire? Next week when you come on, I want you to talk about the fire that's out there in California.
I smell it in my apartment, and it's cloudy today, and there's big brown clouds all over. It's awful.
All right.
I mean, we're a little better, you know, around here in Woodland Hills, but it's just awful.
All right. Listen, we don't have any more time. Next week, same time, same station. thank you so much for listening. I want to thank my good friend and my friend Phil. I want to thank Ralph and Betty. And I want to thank Ken and Ross. I